In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "If mortal mind knew how to be better, it would be better." Close quote. It is obvious that that which is mortal could not even be conscious of that which is immortal. Evil could never be conscious of good. It would be impossible for evil to know good, because there is nothing in evil to enable it to recognize good. The only explanation of evil is the absence of good. Evil is the absence of good. So we can never hope to improve mortal mind. But something must be improved to provide a method of escape from mortality and mortal living, with its accompanying ills of sickness and poverty and discord. There must be some process of progression out of evil into good. There must be a state of consciousness where the exchange from evil to good can be made. Now, evil has only the power or reality given it in individual belief. Therefore, the process of progression from evil to good is not one of change. It is not changing evil into good. It is changing thought and exchanging the good for the evil. This change is made in what Mrs. Eddy has termed the human consciousness. The evil in human consciousness is not cognizant of the good in human consciousness. They are as distinct and separate as the two poles. The reason for that is because the evil does not exist except in belief, while the good exists in truth and reality. The truth we entertain in consciousness exists as conviction. The evil we entertain exists as belief or illusion. That state of existence which entertains truth as a conviction and error as an illusion may be called, in fact is called by Mrs. Eddy, the human consciousness. Now, human consciousness is neither person, place, nor thing. It is just consciousness. Because this consciousness has taken unto itself certain beliefs of mortal mind, such as personal sense, evil, materiality, etc., it has embodied itself in that which you and I call a human body. Besides this material embodiment, this state of consciousness includes some little gleam of goodness and spirituality, which in themselves are not conscious of this claim of human embodiment. The claim of human embodiment is mortal mind, which is conscious only of itself. So the human consciousness does not create the material body and the material world. It is the carnal mind admitted to and held in human consciousness, which constitutes the human body and material existence. In the preface to Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy writes, quote, "The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness, and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation." Close quote. In other passages, she says, quote, "Material sense does not unfold the facts of existence, but spiritual sense lifts human consciousness into eternal truth." Close quote. Quote, "Christ is the true idea voicing good, the divine message from God to man, speaking to the human consciousness. Close quote. Quote, the heavens and earth to one human consciousness, that consciousness which God bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. Close quote. Quote, the human mind acts more powerfully to offset the discords of matter and the ills of flesh in proportion as it puts less weight into the material or fleshly scale and more weight into the spiritual scale. Close quote. Mrs. Eddy also brings out very distinctly the different parts played in human existence by the human mind, the mortal mind, and the divine mind. She says, quote, if it were not for what the human mind says of the body, like the inanimate wheel, would never be weary. What renders both sin and sickness difficult of cure is that the human mind is the sinner, disinclined to self-correction, and believing that the body can be sick independently of mortal mind, and that the divine mind has no jurisdiction over the body. Close quote. All of these quotations I shall analyze in a few moments. Again, she makes the same distinction between the human, the mortal, and the divine, where she says, quote, we must learn how mankind govern the body, whether through faith in hygiene, in drugs, or in willpower. We should learn whether they govern the body through a belief in the necessity of sickness and death, sin and pardon, or govern it from the higher understanding that the divine mind makes perfect, acts upon the so-called human mind through truth, leads the human mind to relinquish all error, to find the divine mind to be the only mind and the healer of sin, disease, and death. Close quote. The marginal heading here is mortal mind's disappearance. And she also says that, quote, the human mind alone suffers. Close quote. Now, with all of these quotations in mind, I want to return to the one that says, quote, comeliness and grace are independent of matter. Being possesses its qualities before they are perceived humanly. Here is a clear statement that God and His creation exist separate and distinct from human consciousness. Mrs. Eddy here recognizes a state of consciousness which she calls human, and in which the divine has not made any appearance or impression, in which, in other words, the divine does not exist. The human is just a state of individualized consciousness, an error of belief, because, she says, quote, being possesses its qualities before they are perceived humanly. Close quote. So it is possible to conceive of a human consciousness devoid of an understanding of the realities of being. When this human consciousness, through the process of thought, begins to take on some of the qualities of being or of God, it then begins to take on divine hues and become evangelized. This consciousness would not, of course, need evangelization if it were true consciousness or the consciousness of God. In other words, if it were that consciousness which constitutes the true man, or the real man of God's creating. The human consciousness might be said to be the belief in a consciousness separate and distinct from God. Just a belief of consciousness without being good or bad. This consciousness is capable of accepting good or evil according to human belief. As this consciousness begins to take unto itself mortal mind, it begins to call itself mortal man. The claim of a consciousness separate and apart from God exists in its primitive state without the consciousness of evil. Our leader writes in Unity of Good, quote, "The more I understand true humanhood, the more I see it to be sinless." Close quote. The human begins to take on some of the carnal mind, and this carnal mind is what gives to the human consciousness a belief of a material or physical body, the belief of birth, growth, maturity, death, the belief of sickness, sin, unhappiness, misery, inharmony, etc. The body of mortal mind in its primitive state is a perfect human concept, a body free from sickness, free from poverty, free from sin. In other words, mortal mind's idea is a material body free from sickness or any of the accompanying or secondary beliefs of the carnal mind. The human consciousness, then, may be said to take to itself first the belief of a human body without any of the beliefs of sickness or inharmony. Then the human consciousness takes to itself a little more of the carnal mind, and this carnal mind, admitted to human consciousness, is expressed in a sick mortal body, a sinful mortal body, a poverty-stricken mortal body, etc. That which becomes an object of human consciousness as matter, sin, sickness, poverty, etc., must have first existed in the carnal mind outside human consciousness. That is, the human consciousness could not be conscious of a mortal body without first admitting mortal mind. This mortal mind admitted to human consciousness is, in turn, objectified or projected as matter, or belief of matter. The mortal mind does not become material until it enters human consciousness and is, in turn, projected.